And welcome to Sunday worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University.
Thank you. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
The Lord is God and has given us light. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord. Friends, if we claim that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and diminish what we are capable of, both in terms of transgression and transformation. The possibility of transformation happens when we place our trust in the one who is faithful and just, and whose mercy knows no end. Placing our faith in the accepting grace of Christ, let us humbly confess our sin before God and one another, saying, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget. Cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, in our gospel lesson for today, the disciple Thomas asks Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus replies, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let us follow this path toward salvation, lit by the beacon of God's grace and mercy for us. Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you please join me in singing the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, hymn number 226, found in your worship bulletin online.
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, on thy faithful mercy's crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find thy promised rest. Take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning. Set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. We pray that you are all safe and well. To all those who have been working in hospitals, grocery stores, pharmacies, post offices, and other places that are so crucial to the functioning of our society, we thank you. To those who have been staying home, even when it's difficult, frustrating, too crowded, or too lonely, we thank you. Wherever you are this morning, we are grateful for your presence. No matter where you are on your journey, you are very welcome here. As always, if you would like to follow along with the liturgy and the hymns, you can find a bulletin on our website, www.memorialchurch.harvard.edu. You'll also find more information there about our programs and how to access them online. Our service this morning is the work of many hands and voices. The lessons are read by two students in our Sunday school. Isabel Macedo reads the first lesson, and Luisa Macedo reads the second. The Reverend Alana Sullivan, our associate minister, leads us in worship, and the Reverend Wes Kahn, our ministry fellow and director of our Sunday school, is our preacher this morning. Behind the scenes, Jesus Romoyamas, our events coordinator, and Jeffrey Blackwell, our communications lead, have lovingly pieced our fragments together into the service to which we are now all listening. The organ music today is taken from recordings by Assistant University Organist and Choirmaster David Von Baron. Gund University Organist and Choirmaster Edward Jones leads us in the hymns. The piano you will hear him playing is the piano former Pusey minister Peter Gomes used to play in Sparks House. Our anthems today are three of my favorites. Joy Flows Down was composed by the amazing Patricia Van Ness, the composer in residence down the street at First Church in Cambridge, and evokes God's presence within the mystery of nature. I've had the words to Stephen Paulus's Pilgrim Hymn, another richly meditative piece, pinned above my desk ever since the choir sang it in the fall. Even before we call your name, O God, the anthem opens. You hear our prayer. David Conti's Prayer of St. Teresa is a musical setting of a prayer you may already know, especially if you participated in our interior pilgrimage earlier in the semester or made that journey at home with Angie Cecil's audio accompaniment shared in our daily newsletter. I invite you, as always, to make these anthems a part of your prayer. Classes have ended for the semester, and many of you are writing your final papers and studying for your final exams, and some of you are preparing to graduate. We invite all graduates to send in a photo of yourself so that we can celebrate you with a slideshow. Please see the bulletin for instructions about where to send your picture. We look forward to seeing all your beautiful faces and to celebrating this great achievement. Mem Cafe, a time of morning fellowship and an opportunity to set an intention for the day ahead, will take place again on Wednesday from 9:30 until 10:15. Mem Cafe is hosted by Wes Kahn and Laura Glass, and there's more information in the bulletin on how to access this gathering. Our daily newsletter on pilgrimage will continue through graduation, so there is still time to sign up on our website and receive in your mailbox each day for a few more weeks music on Mondays, meditations by students, faculty, and clergy on Tuesdays and Thursdays, instruction in a spiritual practice on Wednesdays, and the prayers of our community on Fridays. We have so enjoyed working on this newsletter, and we're grateful for all of the inspiring contributions made to it by our students and many others. There's more great music and writing to come, so do sign up if you haven't already. Today is Mother's Day, a time to remember those who gave birth to us or adopted us, those who have become our spiritual mothers, and those who have simply loved us like a mother. In this time of quarantine, a lot is being asked of mothers of all kinds. On this unusual Mother's Day, may the God who mothers us all give us the strength to share in the work of mothering so that everyone can receive some care and some peace. May the peace of the Lord be always with you. Our offering supports the work of the Memorial Church Grants Committee, which provides funding to local grassroots organizations who know intimately the needs of their communities and work to meet them. The Grants Committee supports access to healthy food through meal programs and food pantries, helps provide needed facilities in shelters, contributes to the work of after-school programs and counseling services, and much more. You can find a donate button in the top right-hand corner of our homepage. Let us, with gladness, present the offerings of our life and labor to God.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, beginning at the 55th verse. But filled with the Holy Spirit, He gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, beginning at the first verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you, in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Here ends the lesson.
Holy One, you are beyond our understanding, and yet we still cry out to you from a deep, mysterious place within us. As your beloved children, we bring before you all that we are: sorrow, pain, hope, joy. God of compassion, we gather in your presence to give you thanks and to celebrate the gift of your love, both gentle and fierce, both strong and humble, both kind and true. Your love gave birth to the whole of creation. Illumine our hearts and our homes with the light of your love. O merciful one, gather in all who struggle to be parents that they want to be. Gather in all who struggle to become parents. Gather in all who struggle without parents. Console those denied the chance to celebrate Mother's Day today, the abandoned, the separated, the disappointed. Bring us all together as your family of faith. Sustain those who mourn loved ones, for whom today is a day of grief. Comfort us with the wellspring of our memories. All-knowing One, in the life of this university and all institutions of higher learning, grant to all who study and those who teach them the grace to love that which is worth loving, to know that which is worth knowing, to value what is most precious to you, and to reject whatever is evil in your eyes. Give them a true sense of judgment and the wisdom to see beneath the surface of things. May they search out and do what is pleasing to you. We are approaching a time that is usually filled with celebration and gratitude. Our graduating students, though, are entering a world that is on edge. Their lives are on hold and the future is uncertain. Time has started to feel illusionary, as minutes feel like hours and hours feel like minutes. Time is just one of the many things we feel that we can no longer trust. Dreams are deferred. Faith is shaken. Hope is lost. God allow these graduating students to mourn their incomplete endings, while also helping them to see your beacon of light and truth in this haze. May they know and feel your abundant love for them. Help them to recognize that still, quiet voice that comes from the depth of our being, saying, "You are not alone." God, we place into your tender care all those with whom we cannot be. We pray for those entering and leaving this world. We pray for those who have to choose between risking their lives and their livelihoods. We pray for those without a choice. We pray for those who are treading a slippery slope, for those who are exhausted and seeking relief, for those who face a mountain of worry or debt, for those who are senselessly murdered, like Ahmaud Arbery. Keep in your mercy, O God, those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, those weighed down by depression or pain, those recuperating from surgery or accident. Ease their burdens by the assurance of your companionship, by the knowledge of your abiding love, by the hope we share in Christ. And among those who need your care is us. Strengthen us as we try to transgress the barriers we encounter each day, whether they be past experiences, challenging circumstances, or difficult choices. Make us your instruments of peace, healing, and redemption. O great and merciful God, we commit ourselves to you in faith, hope, and love, and we gather all of our thoughts, spoken and unspoken, and even the deepest and most mysterious motions of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let us join our voices in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Love thee more dear. Would you please pray with me? Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all calm, make these spoken words yours and tune our hearts to receive your praise this hour. Amen. When I read the assigned scripture readings from the lectionary for today, they threw me for a loop. The shockingly violent reading from the Acts of the Apostles details the gruesome martyrdom of the first deacon, Stephen, which is typically read the day after Christmas, St. Stephen's Day. Meanwhile, the gospel reading is a portion of what is often referred to as the farewell discourse, in which Jesus offered his goodbyes to the disciples before his death. A bit odd to be reading Jesus' goodbyes in the context of Easter, when he is, well, back. Perhaps the lectionary is also participating in our isolation-imposed time warp. In Jesus' farewell to his disciples, we find verses often read at memorial services and funerals. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and take you to myself. This passage lends itself to an image of an expansive heavenly abode for our departed loved ones and for ourselves. The promised rooms or dwelling places always catch my attention. The Greek word, mone, gets translated as room and dwelling place. Mone can also mean to stay and to abide. Jesus holds a space for us to stay with God, a spot where we can abide alongside God, an invitation for us to live with and among our Creator. Thanks to Zoom, I'm sure many of us have seen the homes of our colleagues, classmates, and even complete strangers. We really gain some context to people's lives as we look into our screens. Sometimes, if we are lucky, we also get to hear a child giggle in the background, watch a pet saunter past the camera, or see a cozy houseplant. We are getting to know our earthly homes better than we ever imagined. For some, these months at home have been a time of trial. Homes are often shared with our family members, housemates, or a partner. Parents are having to learn how to simultaneously work, teach their children, referee disputes, and prepare dinner. This becomes exceedingly difficult for single parents. Home, sadly, isn't always a safe place for people. It can be a nightmare for someone who lives with their abuser. Home, for others, however, is the only place where they are free from the threat of a modern-day lynching. Many people during this time have found home to be a vast isolation chamber. Jill Lepore, in her piece, The Isolation Ward, notes that more than 1 in 4 people in the United States lives alone. Loneliness is an unwelcomed guest in our homes, bringing with it increased anxiety, depression, and polarization. For young LGBTQ people, there might not be a home in which to isolate. LGBTQ youth are at greater risk of becoming homeless than their non-LGBTQ classmates. Overall, the number of people living without a home continues to grow in the United States. In 2019, Massachusetts alone reported an estimated 18,000 plus people experiencing homelessness. Home is complicated. Home, this virus is teaching us, is essential. Although, I believe we've known the importance of home all along. Jesus says that in his Father's house, there are many rooms, and that he is going there to prepare a dwelling place for us. I wonder what a room in God's house is like. We can let our imaginations run down a path of divine home decor. Does God really prefer the Gothic and Neo-Gothic designs that influence so much of church architecture? With so many people living there, I bet there's a quiet hour, or as we called it at church camp, flat on back time. As a fastidious cleaner, I pray that God is an immaculate housekeeper. God wants to abide with us, for us to have a place to stay, a place to be, and a place to be loved. In the same essay, Joe Lepore goes on to say that to belong is to feel at home. This is what God wants for us, to belong and to be loved. Jesus is preparing that place for us in God's house. God wants us to know that all three persons of the Trinity are excited to sit alongside us. I think of the famous 15th century icon of the Trinity, painted by Andre Rublev, depicting the three persons of the Trinity sitting at a round table with one open spot. And that spot is meant for you and for me. A place to belong and to be loved. God is serious about this welcome. This dwelling place is not exclusive, and there is no such thing as reservations. Jesus doesn't say that there are only rooms for a few people, but rather many rooms. Jesus is making a space for all of us to abide with God, space for us to belong and to be loved. We may not be able to know much about the details of God's home, but we do know that it is spacious. We get many glimpses of God's spaciousness in Scripture. At the very beginning of the Bible, we learn how God rearranged space to accommodate dry land, deep waters, and endless flora and fauna whose beauty we are enjoying now as it blossoms outside our windows. The Psalms tell of God's roominess, that God has enough room under her wings for all of us to take refuge there. Gospel stories show that Jesus invited people of all moods and professions into the house and around the table. Our reading from the Acts of the Apostles tells of the church's first deacon, Stephen, who was steadfast in ensuring people knew that God abided with them, even to the point of death. When I think of the memorial church, I catch sight of God's spaciousness. We are now in final exam period, so today would normally be when we celebrate the various student groups in the church who help to make Mem Church a home. Like our own student deacons, led by Alex and Maggie, who welcome us into the church building each Sunday morning, assuring us of our belonging by placing a bulletin in our hand and pointing visitors in the direction of the bathrooms. Every Sunday, the endlessly talented church school teachers show us that there is room in God's house for the smallest among us, that sticky hands, princess dresses, and tough theological questions belong here and are loved. In the student oasis, the front desk attendants greet their peers and people from all walks of life as they venture to a couch for a nap. The students in the choir, they let us know that deep voices and high voices and all the voices in between have a dwelling place in God's house. Jesus prepares a place for you in God's spacious house because God wants to abide with you, to stay with you no matter what. You belong with and are loved by God. However, by now, many of us are tired of our homes, and even more of us are still looking for a home, a place to belong and to be loved. What might happen if we begin to reciprocate Jesus' hospitality? What could it look like to prepare a place for God in our lonely apartments or in our hardened hearts? I know God wouldn't mind the frazzled space. After all, he was born in a feeding trough. In the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel, Jesus spoke about God's spaciousness. He said that God's dwelling place can't be contained by the heavens, so it stretches down and is among us, right here where we are. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You belong and you are loved, Jesus said. Amen. Let us sing together now the hymn, Jerusalem, My Happy Home, number 337, found in your online worship bulletin.
Jerusalem, my happy home, when shall I come to thee? When shall my sorrows have an end? Thy joys, when shall I see? Thy saints are crowned with glory great. They see God face to face. They triumph still, they still rejoice in that most happy place. There David stands with harp in hand as master of the this music hear. Our Lady sings Magnificat with tunes surpassing sweet, and blessed martyrs' harmony doth ring in every street. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, God grant that I may see thine endless joy and of the same partaker ever be.
Receive now this benediction. May the grace of Christ, which daily renews us, and the love of God, which enables us to love all, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which unites us in one body, make us eager to obey the will of God until we meet again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been Sunday Worship with the Memorial Church of Harvard University. Please join us again next week at 11 a.m. on WHRB 95.3 FM.